We are studying in the book of Philippians. It's Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And within this letter, Paul is talking about the blueprint for joy. How can we be happy in our lives, but beyond happy, how can we be full of joy? And that's what this letter is all about. So let me pause for a moment. Let us pray and get our focus back as we look at God's Word. Lord, I stand again at your throne of grace, thanking you for the Word that you have given us in your Bible. And Lord, this morning as we look at it from the book of Philippians, Lord, allow us to sense, Lord, your presence, that we may have application for the things we are seeing and reading. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi. It's a church he started himself. And he comes back and now he's in prison. He's in prison in Rome. And yet he writes this letter because he still has a pastor's heart for the church there at Philippi. Wow. And a man named Epaphroditus has come and brought a message. He said, Paul, this is what's going on at the church. Wow. And Paul writes this letter back to encourage the church at Philippi. He loved those people. He really loved them. He cared. The first convert in Europe was found at the church at Philippi. Her name was Lydia. Wow. This chapter, we're studying in chapter 4 today, is my personal favorite chapter in the whole New Testament. It's my most favorite chapter. I'll tell you right now, I'll guarantee you this without one unequivocal doubt. There are at least 4 verses in chapter 4 that you have already memorized to your mind and to your heart. There's at least 4. Now, you may not know them chapter and verse. You may not know the exact address, but I'm going to run through some of these today, at least 2 of them, and next week I'll give you 2 more. And you're going to say, oh, Pastor Brian, I know that verse. Is that where that comes from? How about this verse? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Do you know that verse? Then you've memorized the verse. Yeah, Philippians 4:4. Yeah, okay, there's 1 of the 4. You'll have to be surprised to find the other ones, and I'm going to point them out to you. But this is one of my most favorite verses. Favorite chapters in the whole New Testament. Today's message could easily be called Keeping Calm and Overcoming Anxiety. Now, I just wanted to, just wondering if anybody in our congregation today has ever in their entire lives ever had any problem with anxiety. No one. Well, I'm very impressed. I am very impressed. Has anyone ever had a problem staying calm throughout every ordeal of life? Very impressed. Oh, sorry, somebody did raise their hand back there. That was good. 1 out of 100 is not bad. Yeah, sure. Our support text today is Philippians 4:1-9. Let's read through it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement. Also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow. May the Lord God just receive our blessings as we read his word today. Well, if you look carefully at this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul gives us 2 ways that we can stay calm and overcome any anxiety in our life. Wow. Number one, the first way we can overcome anxiety and stay calm, number one, have peace with others. Have peace with others. Wow. And our support text for that is those first three verses, and I'm going to read them again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Wow. It seems to me that there was a little problem with two ladies in the church. There was a division between these two ladies. One thing I've learned about division in church, I've learned this. Division can destroy a happy, healthy, lovely church. God does not want division. God wants us to be unified. We are bound together with the Holy Spirit of God. The same Holy Spirit who lives in me lives in you. Wow. That unity. I look at it like this. We're all going to be together in heaven. We're going to get along great there. Why don't we start right here? Yeah. Because when we get to heaven, you know the person you've had the biggest dispute with? He's going to be your next door neighbor there. So you're going to have to get along with him here. That's all there is to it. Make it very simple. Paul challenges these ladies to settle their disagreement. I'm not sure what the dispute was all about, but it must have been big because Paul takes time from his prison cell in Rome to write a letter to these two ladies. They weren't getting along. They just weren't getting along. You know what happened when they came to church? This is what happened. They came to church. Euodia, she sat in that very, 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 very back row in the very corner there. Wow. And you know where Syntyche sat? Right here in this row right here. That seat there. Syntyche sat here. Euodia sat there. And you know what they did? They crossed their arms like this. Steam came out of their ears because they were mad. They were upset with each other. And even for the whole worship, the singing, the praying, the message, the communion, they didn't think about anything else except negative thoughts about Euodia, and Euodia thought about Syntyche. I'm not going to enjoy life, and I'm not going to enjoy worship. You think God was pleased? Of course not. Do you think others became aware of this? Of course they did. Epaphroditus went to Paul and said, Paul, these two lovely ladies who have helped you with the gospel. Remember how good they were. They were good Christian workers. Now they have dispute. I don't know what the dispute was, but it must have been big. So I want Euodia to sit down here next Sunday, okay? Or Syntyche, would you go and sit with her there? I want that unity to be in our church. So, wow. It must have been a very serious issue. God wants us to walk in unity. You know what I found out over the course of my life? Men settle problems differently. You see, if it was a man having a dispute with another man, they settle it very easily. One walks up to the other one and punches him in the nose. Yeah. And then they sit down and they say, hey, let's have a cup of coffee together and talk about it. Now, but sometimes I find with ladies, they'll sit here and they'll sit there and they won't talk about it. They'll let fester. I would sometimes be rather punched in the nose and have the problem solved. Yeah, it could. I'm not thinking I need a punch in the nose, but if there's something out there that does, I understand. I just find over the course of my life. Let me show you a verse from Scripture about what Jesus said about unity. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed for the disciples and for all believers. Listen to this prayer from John 17. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, these disciples, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Wow. You know what I found from this passage? Jesus has already prayed for me. Jesus has prayed for me. I'm a believer. Jesus has prayed for me. What was his prayer? He said, "Brian, we want unity. We want unity in your church and in your life." Wow. Jesus tells us in his word that if a church can walk in love and unity, then we can have a fantastic impact on the world we live in. There is a lot of stress outside these walls. There is a lot of stress on the other side of that wall. It's called the world we have to live in. Can we let God's house here be a place of solace from that mess outside? Wow. Unity. If you think no one cares about you, guess what? Many people, the majority of people, care about you. You know how I know that? Because I care about every one of you. And I have learned this, that me and God make a majority. That's all that matters. That God and I, we make a majority. That means most of us care about you. Even if it is just me. If you came to church this morning and you're thinking, nobody cares if I came. I care. I checked with my wife earlier, my lovely and talented, and you know what she said? "Brian, I also care." So there's two plus God. That makes a majority. So if you came and no one cares about you, wrong. We care. We care about the people from Australia. They didn't know I would be caring about them, but they came. I care about them. We're a majority. So division, it's just one of the things that causes that stress and anxiety. And in this case, it was a division caused by these two ladies. Let's look at the second. The first one was having peace with others. The second is this: have peace with others. The second one, have peace with yourself. Have peace with yourself. Uh-oh, what do you think our support text will be for this? Let's take a look. Oh, no. Oh, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You see, I have God's permission to say this many times because Jesus said we're allowed to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. I may use this verse again in this passage. I don't know. Have peace with yourself. Anxiety is anticipating the worst possible scenario and then freaking out about it. Wow. What causes so much stress in our culture? What causes so much stress in our culture? Whether it's Japan or America or England or Canada, Australia, what causes so much stress? I live here in Osaka. You know something that causes stress that I wasn't ready for? All the noise. This is a noisy city. Last night I'm trying to sleep. Sirens come by. I'm awake. Five people on motorcycles came by, except they came by once an hour. Yes. Pretty soon it is daylight and I must get up. Too much noise here. I can't do anything about it. You know what else this causes stress? iPhones. Yeah. You have these and they're always going. Beep, 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 beep. Email, C-mail, no mail, just any mail. We live a 24-hour lifestyle here in Osaka. Yet, we have a disconnect from meaningful community. Isn't it sad? We live a 24-hour lifestyle, but we are disconnected from meaningful community with each other. It's sad. Not the way God intended it. It causes a lot of stress. How do you know? Here's a stress test for you. I got a stress test. I brought it here. How do you know if you have stress in your life? Okay? How do you know if you have stress in your life? Let me see if you answer to any of these questions. You have unusual mood swings. You are very calm one moment, and you are very angry the next. Ever happened to you? Maybe. Does this sound like you? You're angry most of the time. Hello, how are you? I am very happy to meet you. No. At least some of the time you are depressed. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You're exhausted, but you can't sleep. You go to bed very tired, but you're laying in bed. You can't sleep. Maybe you're stressed out. How about this? The smallest things seem to cause you to be emotionally overwhelmed. Yes, the smallest things. Maybe you went to a restaurant and you ordered some breakfast. And with the breakfast came toast. And you called the waitress over. And you say, I'll use Japanese. Strawberry jam ga arimasu ka? And the nice little waitress, very nice, says, gomenesai, sorry. Blueberry jam ga arimasu. No strawberry jam! I'm not upset. Sorry, sir. Blueberry jam ga toke. That's all we have. No strawberry jam. I can't eat breakfast. We can't be emotionally upset that way over little things like strawberry jam. But sometimes we do, and it's wrong. Okay? If you need strawberry jam, I don't have any with me, but I only live a few minutes from here. But the smallest things upset us. I like 1 Peter. Because it tells us life doesn't have to be this way. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. In other words, make you feel good. Casting all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Has this ever happened to you? You're laying in bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You have not slept. And you're very worried. You're very anxious about things. And then you remember this verse. Oh, yeah. Pastor Brian said in 1 Peter, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So what do? You give all of your anxiety to God. It's 2:05. Yes, God, I'm giving you all of my anxieties and all of my worries. Ah, yes, now I can sleep. But it's 2:10 and you were worrying again. And God says, I thought you gave me the anxiety. How come you want them back? Give them to God and leave them with God. He doesn't want you walking around with anxiety. At 2:15, I want you to be asleep because you've given them to God and you really meant it. So how do we overcome the stress that gets our peace away from us? I'm going to give you 7 biblical disciplines to help overcome your anxiety. Now, if you're taking notes, take notes. You'll need to take a lot of notes. If you don't have a pen, please try to find one. I'm going to give you 7 quick things to help you overcome anxiety and help you stay calm. And they're found all in this passage. Number 1, anchor your joy in Jesus, not your circumstances. Anchor your joy in Jesus. I've said it before. Don't let circumstances rob you of your joy. What's our scripture text? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, or a result of having the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's difficult to display this fruit if you are not finding joy in your relationship with Christ. Wow. Let me show you where that is. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wow. Fruits of the Spirit. Wow. Joy. Number two. Respond with gentle. I wonder which one of these is most like, maybe some of you see yourself as that lady on the right. She is a very sweet person. I know that no one in our congregation has ever looked like this lady on the left. I'm positive of that, of course. I learned this. Here's our scripture. Philippians 4, 5a. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Wow. I learned this. Typically, when people are all stressed out, they are not very gentle. Have you ever had this happen to you? Somebody does something kind of mean to you, and you get your laptop out, and you very quickly type an email. Very quickly, and you're angry, and you push the send button. And then about 5 minutes later, you say, I shouldn't have been so mean. I'm a Christian. And you go to the email, and you say, there is the send button. Where's the bring back button? Bring it back. I need bring back. There's no bring back button on here. It's already gone. Oh, no. Bring it back. It's gone. Too late. Yes. Then you have to send another email. I am sorry. My child was playing on my laptop and sent... It can happen. So anchor your joy in Jesus. Respond with gentleness. Number three, remember that Jesus is always with you. Regardless of what you're doing, Jesus is always with you. Wow. Here's our scripture, Philippians 4, 5. The Lord is near. He's with us all the time. Jesus is omnipresent. It means Jesus is everywhere. He is with us. The Lord is always at hand. Do you remember a few years ago, everybody was saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Yeah. It was kind of nice to think about it. What would Jesus do here? Would he have a gentle spirit? Of course he would. Would he send a bad email? No, he would not. I think we can use WWJD, what would Jesus do? Still, we can use it every day. Sometimes we need to. I think we can apply the fact that Jesus is with us to help us be the best Christians we can be. He is omnipresent. Number four, refuse to be anxious. Refuse to be anxious. Hold it. Here's the scripture. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Christians, you must make a daily choice. And you always have a choice. You must make the choice to be joyful in spite of circumstances, or let your worries overwhelm you. You have a choice. Be joyful in spite of circumstances, or let your worries overwhelm you. I want to choose this. I discovered this over the course of my life as well. Most of us do not function well in a heightened state of anxiety. Yeah, we just don't, do we? It's overwhelming us. And that's wrong. Number five, pray for help. Help is on the way. Here's our scripture verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. You know, I think this is another one of those verses we all have probably memorized. And there it is. Everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. You know what we do sometimes? We let our requests be made known to our next door neighbor instead of God. God is more concerned than our neighbor. You know, it's a very simple matter to talk with Jesus about what is overwhelming us. He cares. He knows the number of hairs on my head. And each time I go to the hair place, my hair gets less and less. But He knows the number of hairs on my head. He wants us to be peaceful with others. God doesn't want us to walk around all stressed out. I think sometimes we forget. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. God has us appointed here in Osaka to be ambassadors for God. Wow. So when someone greets us with a gentle spirit, we say, hello. Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm very happy to make your acquaintance. Well, thank you for coming. I've enjoyed you talking today. Or maybe even at the grocery store. Hell, yes, I'm a Christian. Good to meet you. Yeah. I think that approach is very nice. Most of us like to be talked to in a very gentle way. Nobody likes to be talked to. Hello, I'm a Christian. I'm so stressed out that I really don't know how to talk to you. Does anybody want to be talked like that? As an ambassador? No. I don't want my ambassador, if I was the head of a country, to be acting like that in another country. God doesn't want us to be all stressed out here on earth. This isn't our home anyway. My citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. I'm only an ambassador here. I don't want to be stressed out. I just want to be gentle. Yes. Yes. Number six. Meditate on God's Word. Here it is. My Bible is all beat up. Yes. I lived in the Philippines for a long time. You know what happened in the Philippines? I have to show you this very quickly. The cockroaches ate my Bible. These holes are from the cockroaches. They ate my Bible. That's okay. I got it back. I had a fight with them. I got it back. Meditate on God's Word. 4:8. Let's look at the verse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Yeah. Where do we find the truth? The honor, the righteousness, the purity, the loveliness of God. We find it in God's Word. God wants us to meditate it. Too many people are meditating on the bad news of this world. The Middle East situation. Recently we talked about ISIS. It's there. But I'm not going to let that dominate my life. I'd rather meditate on God. I'd rather meditate on how much He cares for us. His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His strength, His wisdom. I want to meditate on that. Number seven. Walk in obedience to the Bible. You see, it's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to use it in our lives. I hope you're using the SOAP system. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. I use it every day. I'm reading through the book of Psalms right now. It's one thing to meditate on the scripture. It's another thing to be obedient to it and use it. Sometimes we get worried and anxious and fearful because we have not been obedient to God. But it says within this verse, when we obey God's word, the peace of God will be with us. Did we look at verse 9? Here it is. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Not the God of anxiety. Not the God of not being calm and relaxed. The God of peace will be with you. Wow. Let's conclude. Every one of us has times in our life when someone tells us to stay calm. Calm down. You ever had somebody say that to you? Stay calm. Yes. You're not feeling calm. But people will say, yes, I think every one of us have those. Life inevitably will throw things at us that will be a challenge to our peace. Every one of us has those challenges. It's how we manage those events in our life that will cause us to either keep our joy or lose our joy. Remember, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi that we are looking at this morning is called the blueprint for joy. In other words, the plan to have joy for your life. I have a challenge for you. I have a challenge this morning. Talking about unity, talking about peacefulness within our congregation and within the world that we meet. Is there anyone in your life that you may have to bring an apology to? Yeah. Is there anyone? I challenge you this morning, before you go home, if they are part of our congregation, to go to them and apologize. And say, I'm sorry. I think I said something wrong to you. Please accept my apology. I only want unity. I went around this morning. I had a list of people that I needed to apologize to. Even me. Yeah. But before I came to the communion service this morning, I wanted to make sure that I had said my apologies to the people I needed to apologize to. You know, it was nice. Some people came to me and apologized to me. Yeah, it was all very nice. I sensed God's peace. We have a beautiful congregation, OIC. I need to say this. God has given me a great capacity to love you. I love you. My heart quickens when I meet you at the door. My heart quickens now as I look at you and see your faces. I love you. I care about you. God has given me a great capacity to care for you. So I want to thank you for letting me have that opportunity. You see, if we don't take time to apologize and to get it right with each other, that stress and anxiety won't go away. I want it to go away. I want peace. I want unity. I want koinonia. That's a Greek word. It means having the right kind of fellowship that is God-centered. That's what I want for our church. So let us live our lives in a way that reflects the joy that God has given us in Christ. For the sake of Jesus, let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we've talked about so much, Lord, and we've laughed at each other. But Lord, the reality of it is we have no joy without Jesus. So don't let the circumstances of our life sometimes take that away. So I thank you, Lord, this morning for a beautiful group of people. Lord, OIC is such a wonderful church. we can have such an impact for this city. So use us in a great capacity, Lord, with a gentle spirit as we go to the streets now. Guide us and direct us. Use us in a wonderful capacity for your kingdom. May we be seen as Christians who are passionately in love with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.